I'm going to continue these talks between Maitreya and Vidura from the 20th chapter because they're so to the point, a really brilliant exposition of the bodily conception of life and how attachment to the body and things relating to the body affects the advancement of a aspiring transcendentalist. I hadn't really remembered that this volume contains this really poignant elaboration on Krishna's Dehinosmin for devotees who want to develop their arguments and preaching when you're not this body, preaching that we're always doing, and it's our first step in presenting Krishna consciousness to people generally. They really gain a lot of insight into the phenomenon of bodily identification as well as techniques and arguments for presenting the whole subject. And now listen to this verse, which is verse number 6 of chapter 20, canto 4. Asam sakta sriresmin namunot padite grihe apatye dravine vapi kakurion mamatam buddha. How can a highly learned person who has absolutely no affinity for the bodily conception of life be affected by the bodily conception in regard to house, children, wealth, and similar other bodily productions? Here the last word is buddha, similar to Krishna also uses this word buddha, translated as a learned person, when he says yehi samsparsha bhoga dukkha yoniva evate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. Similar topic, similar argument, Krishna is talking about the impermanence of sense enjoyment, and obviously those things that bring sense enjoyment, sense objects. And he says that a buddha, a learned person, does not ramate, does not seek enjoyment in these things. Here the previous word is mamatam. Mamata means, Prabhupada's translating as affinity, or mamata means mine, I, me, mine, which are symptoms of that affinity, or something to do with my atma. I fully identify with something. So an intelligent person doesn't identify with these bodily productions, as Prabhupada says. And here we see that Bhagavatam here doesn't say that a person doesn't get involved, a buddha, a learned person doesn't get involved in these bodily productions. It just says that he doesn't have affinity for them and he's not affected by them. And this becomes a really important and essential issue in our preaching and giving Krishna consciousness to others. Because to tell people that they should have nothing to do with house, children, wealth, and other bodily productions just doesn't work. It's not something that people in Kali Yuga can practice. Other forms of yoga, we see that yes, this is just what is being taught, that you must be celibate, you should head off into the forest, and real spiritual perfection is possible for brahmacharis, for sannyasis, or women who are willing to take up similar types of vows. But it's not practical. It's not what people relate to. That type of preaching doesn't spread Krishna consciousness. It's not a practice that's relevant to the general condition of people in this day and age who are going to be householders. But what the key is given here, is formulated by Rupa Goswami in the terminology that he uses, Yukta Vairagya. which says anasakta shavishayan. He said it's not that you're not supposed to have a body or a house or children or wealth, but he said you should not be affected by them. And learning how to live in one's family and at the same time and not be affected by it and everything else that comes along with it is the substance of the preaching that our Grihastha Ashram teaches or gives to others, both in terms of verbal substance and in terms of personal example. Yes, these things, deha patra kalata deshu atmasanyeshu, these fallible soldiers are the cause of bondage in this world. But if they're connected to Krishna, if they're used in Krishna's service, if they're dedicated to Krishna, and if we see them as actually belonging to Him, then these things have no effect on us. They do not degrade the members of the family. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, manasya deho geho yoki chumur. Everything that I have, my wife is not my wife, but actually she's your servant, as are my children. I don't have a house, it's actually your house. The mentality, the consciousness is what's important. And the consciousness is stated in this verse of a conditioned soul, the consciousness of an enjoyer is mamatam, it's mine. Increasing my affinity. And the consciousness of a Vaishnava, of a transcendentalist, is no, it belongs to Krishna, and I have a responsibility. I'm a guardian of this house. I'm a caretaker of these family members, teaching them how to come closer to the Lord. And with that type of mentality, anasaktasya vishayan, without attachment. Without attachment, we should really qualify that. Doesn't mean that there's absolutely no attachment at all. You can't live with someone unless there's a certain degree of attachment. You have to show love to family and especially to children. Otherwise, giving them a stable family atmosphere in which they'll benefit from the practices of Krishna consciousness won't work. But what type of attachment is it, as is stated in this verse, that one should not be affected, one should not come under the influence of that attachment. One should not be bewildered by it and think, oh, now this is the peak, this is the ultimate goal of life. There's nothing more than this. There's nothing better to be had. And now, mastering this type of lifestyle, this type of consciousness, is really the key in our grihasthas spreading Krishna consciousness, because the grihastha ashram, householder life, is the example which people are going to follow when devotees show their own Krishna consciousness as a strong, thriving conviction that's visible in their faces and their taste for the holy name and the association of Vaishnavas, while at the same time living in a normal household life where the family also works, where the relationship between husband and wife is caring and loving, where children are happy. And even one may say that there's a measure of prosperity, so that all the family members are living comfortably. This becomes something that people can buy into. Then they'll say, well, all right, this is for me. This type of Krishna consciousness I can practice. And so we see that as we're entering into the modern age, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a householder with huge family responsibilities. Srila Prabhupada also adopted the role of a householder. And he encouraged his followers also to get married. The role model of sannyasis, Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and of course latest Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is not what impresses people, neither what necessarily attracts people to take up the practice itself. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada talks about establishing Varnashram, Varnashram means Grihastashram. Otherwise, there is no Varnashram. Brahmacharis and Sannyasis don't make Varnashram. Varnashram is dependent on the support of the Grihastas. It's mainly populated by Grihastas. And therefore, we see that for preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness, Grihastha Ashram is of the utmost importance. But how to play with fire and not get burnt? Because the body and these bodily productions, they are objects that really tend to feed and increase material attachment, which is something that weakens spiritual resolve. And we've seen many stalwarts get distracted from the path of pure devotional service. And the answer to that is that spiritual practices have to be very strong. In order for someone to be a good grihastha, he has to have good japa habits, nice stable association with other Vaishnavas, good sadhana, morning program, or some type of program that gives him sufficient spiritual strength to not become overly influenced or affected by all of these bodily productions. And that example also needs to be seen. The example of not just the happy grihastha, but also how that grihastha remains happy and Krishna conscious by a strong spiritual practice. Otherwise, no doubt, if there isn't enough spiritual input, regular, systematic, scientific spiritual practice, then one will become naturally drawn down and degraded. So anyway, these are some thoughts for today. Always so enlivening to read Srimad Bhagavatam and delve into its unlimitedly deep message, and particularly this one about how one remains unaffected by the bodily productions, although living with them. Hare Krishna.